Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Game Notes Podcast, a show about the Utah Jazz, who are currently the number one seed in the NBA's Western Conference. I'm Dave Dufour, and it's a Utah Jazz show on the Athletic Podcast Network, and I think that we are contractually obligated to have Tony Jones on just about every episode. So Tony's here.
A little bit late. I am indispensable to this operation, okay?
Well, the show wouldn't exist without you.
Okay,
listen. Let's just be honest.
But listen, I know that we're a Utah Jazz podcast, but can we send our condolences to Jason Jones?
For having to cover the Sacramento Kings?
Guys who are, if you don't know who Jason Jones is a dear friend of mine. He's one of my better friends in the world, and he is our colleague, and he covers the Sacramento Kings for the Athletic. And we need to send our condolences to him because he has been a Sacramento Kings beat writer for almost a decade. And we watched that game last night. I think we all watched that game last night, and we were just like, can you imagine watching the Sacramento Kings team 72 times, 82 times a year? Can you? Knowing that they could have had Luka Doncic?
Oof.
Okay.
That's pretty rough.
Let's not get too far into the weeds. But
I wonder if Tim Cato gives Jason Jones a hard time for that.
Like Tim just walks by and just flexes and keeps walking or something.
Yeah, you know, Tim's going to be writing the Luka Doncic book at some point.
That's facts.
Jason Jones is going to be like...
And Jason Jones is going to write the Marvin Bagley book.
The story of Stauskas.
Sauce Castillo.
So anyway, just like we're roasting the Kings, the Jazz just completely roasted the Kings. I mean, 154 points. I would say it's embarrassing, but it was more like there was just one team out there. Look, they shot 24 of 41 from three, 55 of 86 from the field. So 64% and 58%, 58.5% respectively. And for good measure, went 20 of 21 from the free throw line.
So wait a minute, their shooting splits last night were what? 64, 59, and 90.
95.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So just absurd numbers that they put up in this game. And look, I know it's easy for us to say, oh, it's the Kings and they're so bad. Hot shooting nights like that could have happened to anybody. It could have happened to Utah. It has happened to Utah.
Denver happened to Utah.
It's just easy for us to point out that the Sacramento Kings also are just really bad at all this stuff. But, 152 offensive rating for that game in a game they scored 154 points in. Pretty good. 103 defensive rating. And, you know, I think the funniest part is they scored 154 points and they only had 2 points. So one made basket from the mid-range. That's a drubbing.
Okay, so here's what I saw yesterday. Okay. For any NBA general manager or coach that listens to our podcast,
just any random ones that might
any be random ones, any wannabe scouts, anybody who wants to work in the front office, take this advice. Do not ever defend the Utah Jazz, or at least this specific Utah Jazz team, by dropping your big in the paint. Just don't do it. Just
can't do it.
Just don't do it. Not even for a possession. Because if you do that, then basically it just comes down to whether the Jazz make or miss the wide open shot that they're about to generate. That's basically what it like. You have yep. you have no power defensively over how that specific possession turns out for the Jazz. It's just all about whether the Jazz make or miss the open shot that they're going to generate. Whether because Rudy Gobert is too good at rolling down the lane. So Joe Ingles is too good at pick and roll basketball. So you're either going to have to pick your poison. And if you crash the weak side to help, then, you know, you get the Jazz will get you scrambling with the ball movement, with the way they attack, and then they'll end up with a wide open three. And the Sacramento Kings inexplicably dropped the big in the paint the entire night for 48
even
minutes.
Even though and Rashawn Holmes is a big that can actually play. Yeah,
he can
perimeter.
Switch.
It made no sense to me.
I'm looking at him.
Have we talked about this before? I don't know how Luke Walton has kept that job. I don't think that the ownership is cheap there, but he's done an awful, objectively awful job with that team.
I mean,
it's really bad.
Just how do you come out with that defense and then just not listen? The Jazz are a lot better than they used to be at attacking switching defenses. And for how much that they've improved, I would say they've improved about 80% in terms of their ability to attack switching defense. And that is still 1,000% a better way to go in defending the Utah Jazz than dropping the big into the paint. It's the entire reason why I don't think the Lakers can play Andre Drummond against the Jazz in a playoff series.
Right. Well, I think Anthony Davis has got to be the center in that.
If the Lakers and the Jazz play in the playoff series, Anthony Davis 100% has to be the center.
Well, let's start thinking about the playoffs, okay? Because we've only got 10 games to go. That's it. I mean, somehow we're here. It snuck up on me, Tony.
Yeah, because we're playing a game every single day.
Seriously.
That's why.
To the point.
Remember our podcast when we were like, oh my God, it's 37 games in 71 days. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So, full disclosure, yesterday I sat at my desk for 30 minutes getting ready to record this show. That's where I'm at in the season. I literally spent all day yesterday thinking it was Thursday. But let's think about the playoffs, because we actually – there's an argument to be made that the playoffs started last night. And we're recording this Thursday, the 29th of April. But there is an argument to be made. There were so many games that had playoff implications. The Jazz beating the Kings notwithstanding, because they needed to stay up on the Suns. And they're now – as we're recording this, one game up on the Suns, heading into a head-to-head matchup with the Suns on Friday. Now, I don't know if they actually care about the one seed. I do care about the one seed. I think that, especially for Utah, home court advantage is going to be important in this year's playoffs, given lineup volatility, given season compression, lack of rest, lack of preparation, lack of practice time. I think if you're the home team, you're going to have a real advantage. Add into that the elevation, and I think that Utah should want the number one seed for home court throughout the playoffs. Now, then you got to start thinking about the matchups. And right now, if you're the one seed, you would have to play the winner of Denver and the Lakers. And so I think that stuff is going to start creeping into our minds a little bit, Tony. What do you think?
So the Jazz have made their top priority getting their roster healthy. That's their top priority. Their second priority is rhythm heading into the playoffs. So their first two priorities are they want to be healthy, they want to be completely healthy, and they want to be playing good basketball going into the playoffs. Then their third priority is seeding. As I wrote today in The Athletic, the seeding priority is not as much of an issue as it was because the Clippers lost last night, which basically means that the Jazz are, for all intents and purposes, locked in to a top two seed. They can fall to the number three seed by losing half of their games, half of their remaining 10 games. And if they lose half of their remaining 10 games, the Los Angeles Clippers would have to go 8-0. So every game that the Clippers lose, that means the Jazz can lose another game from here on out. So, I mean, if the Jazz go 6-4, they clinch a top two seed. If they go 5-5, they have a chance. The Clippers will have to go undefeated. So in essence, the Jazz are going to be the number one or number two seed. So,
but that's where you've got to pick your poison. Would you rather play the Clippers in the second round or potentially the Lakers?
I don't think the Jazz care either way. I think the Jazz know they have to beat somebody great in the second round. And, you know, and because of that, they just want to be healthy and they want to be playing well. So I think playing well coincides with winning games. So, you know, I do think that they're going to go out like tomorrow, right? They're not going to tank tomorrow. They're going to go out and try like hell to beat the Phoenix Suns. But they're going to go out and try their best to beat the Phoenix Suns without Donovan Mitchell and without Mike Conley. So, you know, they're going to be at a disadvantage.
And let's not forget, the Lakers aren't locked in at the five spot. They're only a game and a half up on the Mavericks.
And the Lakers have a tough run coming up. The Mavericks win tonight.
Yeah, the Lakers have a tough run coming up. They got to play Phoenix next week. They got to play the Clippers. Anthony Davis hasn't looked good. LeBron's still not back. Like, the Lakers could very, very easily fall into the sixth seed. And we might wind up with Clippers-Lakers in the first round, which is probably what every other team except for the Clippers and Lakers are rooting for, right? Like, get one of them out of there.
Right.
I know this is going to sound selfish, but that's kind of the scenario I'm rooting for. It gives us the Lakers-Clippers series that we want, and maybe not under the circumstances that we want, because I think we all want Anthony Davis and LeBron to be, you know, 100% and rolling coming into the playoffs. But the Clippers are also struggling a little bit. Kawhi has had some injury issues. Patrick Beverley, they're playing well, but I think some of that is that they've had a favorable schedule here too.
Let me ask you something.
This year's playoffs is going to be wild. It's like wide open. It's all I can talk about right now.
Let me ask you something with the Lakers. Are you worried about them at all?
I mean, I need to see LeBron.
What are they 1-4 with Anthony Davis?
Something like that. I mean, look, the offense has struggled big time. The defense is there, right? Like, so we know we're not worried about that. The offense has struggled. LeBron should buoy that and lift it. But the question is, what is he going to look like? Is he going to be diminished at all? Is he going to be a step behind or a step slow like Anthony Davis has been so far? I don't know. Anthony Davis looks rusty to me. And we've never really seen that from LeBron. This is the most games we've ever seen him miss. So
I think there are a lot of
question marks.
The thing with Anthony Davis that's getting me is that he doesn't look like he's in shape. And that's...
Well, he couldn't really work out, though. That's
right,
the thing.
Right. So that's not atypical considering the injury that he had. And, I mean, it's not affecting his shot making. He's making shots, but you can see it. You can really, really see it defensively.
Like, isn't this what shut down Mike Conley a couple years ago? Was it a tendinosis or was it just tendonitis?
It was a very bad hamstring that caused him.
No. 20 I thought he had an Achilles. Games.
It wasn't an Achilles. No, it was a hamstring. You talking about last year? It was a hamstring.
No, I'm talking about in Memphis.
Oh, that was tendinosis. Yes.
Yeah, and remember, they just shut him down for the year. And I was worried that was going to happen with Anthony Davis in particular, because I think that the Kevin Durant injury is so front of mind right now every time a guy has a strained calf or anything like that. But I thought that they might shut him down. But, I mean, clearly he's healthy or he wouldn't be out there. But he definitely doesn't look right. And I wonder if LeBron will be, you know, is he able to walk right in, play five regular season games, and be at peak first round of the playoff level LeBron? I don't know.
Well, he's going to have to be.
Right, because even the Nuggets aren't pushovers. Even without Jamal Murray, like, they've been balling.
I mean, when you look at this Laker offense right now, like, I mean, it's the same as it ever was. LeBron's going to have to be able to create a real lion's share of the offense. And I think he's, you know, there's a burden on him. He's going to, you know, have to go 30, 8 assists, 8 rebounds per night, you know, because they just struggle to create without him. I'm most surprised at Dennis Schroeder. You know, I thought that, you know, with the added freedom and everything, he'd be able to, you know, not be Kyrie, but at least be Kyrie light.
Well, if LeBron, see, but that's the thing though, right? Like, he's not that player. And if LeBron was there and if Anthony Davis was there, I think that we would feel like the Schroeder thing has sort of worked out for them. I still think he's been a mostly good player for them, but it's a different perspective without those two guys completely. I mean, every player on that roster looks different without LeBron and Anthony Davis. I mean, let's be honest. Those two are the ultimate ship raisers, you know, like they are the rising tide for the rest of the guys on that roster. Right. And so if they're not 100%, which Anthony Davis is very clearly not 100%.
Right.
And we don't know about LeBron. And so you have one of those guys not 100%. You have to start saying, okay, it's a little bit open. Now, if LeBron comes back and he looks rough and they're the sixth seed and they've got to play the Clippers in the first round, and let's say Kawhi has, you know, maybe they've been milking this to get extra rest or something, that's dangerous for the Lakers.
Right.
And it's great for Utah. I've been talking myself into the last 2 days, Utah really making a finals run because of being the number one seed. I think it's going to help them a lot.
Well, I think they have. I mean, you know, I've been saying it all year. I mean, they have a chance. They have it at the very least. They have a puncher's chance. You know, they are an explosive and unique team. They are a team that shoots, you know, 45 three-pointers a game, but at the same time, they touch the paint off the dribble.
And you're not worried. You're not worried about over reliance on role players making shots when you get into the playoffs. You don't think this team is likely to run into a Houston Rockets 0-27 scenario? I mean, obviously that's super unlikely, but you know what I'm saying. Maybe just go cold for three games and shoot sub 20% from three in a playoff series. You're not worried about that at all?
No, because they have a home run hitter. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's a home run hitter. I mean, they can miss, you know, however many shots that they miss, and Donovan Mitchell could still just say, okay, I'll just go ahead and get 40. And he's proven that he can do that under playoff pressure. So, you know, as long as Donovan is healthy offensively, I think they're going to be able to be able to compete with anybody, you know, whether they're making shots, whether the role players are making shots or not. And that's where the home court advantage comes in. And that's where I agree with you, because what happens at home, the role players typically make shots.
That's right.
Right? Where do the role players typically struggle? They typically struggle on the road.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Let's look ahead to the next week. We record again, I guess it's next Friday, Thursday, Friday, something like that. They have four games between today and then. And of course, the big one, the Suns, Friday night. And this is the most important game of the year, I think, because this is for control of the West. And if the Suns win, you're tied for the one seed. But then you've got to play Toronto and then back-to-back against San Antonio next week. There are no pushovers in the next four games for sure.
And you're going to do it at minimum. You're going to do it without Mike Conley. And it depends on probably
Donovan Mitchell, right?
Probably, depending on what the evaluation says on Saturday, Donovan Mitchell as well.
Yeah, because the hope is, you know, to be healthy for the playoffs. So I think it's you could probably assume that at least one of those Spurs games he's not going to play in.
Right, right.
So they've got the Suns Friday. How are you feeling about that game? You know, I'm on the fence. The Suns have been playing good basketball.
I mean, you have to, you have to give the Suns a significant edge, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's no Mike Conley, there's no Donovan Mitchell. The Suns are not the Sacramento Kings. They're not dumb enough to sit in
right
in coverage for 48.
Yeah, yeah. Now, but the Suns have, right. I don't think they've got Jay Crowder or Dario Saric tonight. Now, that being said, this isn't the game for Saric anyway.
Here's a good question for you. What do you think of the Jazz's jumbo lineup that they've been trotting out? In the jumbo lineup that they've been trotting out over the last few games, sporadically, Joe Ingles at point guard, Bojan Bogdanović at the two, George Niang at the three, Ersan Ilyasova at the four, and Rudy Gobert at the five. What do you think of that?
I mean, I think that that's all fine and good, but there's such a limited utility for that. There are not a lot of teams that you're able to go that big against and keep everybody on the court. Now, Joe Ingles does help you a lot because he can, you know, he's able to guard smaller point guards, which is such a funny thing to say about Joe Ingles. But, you know, we all remember him guarding Chris Paul, but he's just an effective, smart pick and roll defensive player. So you can have him out there to guard some smaller guards, but I just think that the likelihood of a team sticking with a lineup that allows you to keep all those guys on the court for any significant amount of time, especially in the playoffs, I think is pretty slim. I think that lineup could get run pretty easily if a team just immediately made an adjustment.
Right.
But it's a regular season, so I'm all for it. To me, I actually think teams should be playing bigger during the regular season just to, you know, use those guys on the bench to get your more important players more of a rest. So if a guy is kind of playing up a position, definitely try to sneak a rest. So I'm all for it. I mean, playing Ilyasova right now is great because I don't think he's going to play a ton in the playoffs.
I would say this. I would say that Ilyasova's played a lot better than anticipated. And I think that the Jazz brass are you know, pleasantly surprised is the word the phrase I would use with, you know, not only how well he shot the ball, but, you know, how, you know, I mean, he's defended to his capability and you know, he's made an impact. Like, he made
an
impact
on
that
first.
Right. He's going to draw charges.
He's going to tip some balls out.
Floor. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you know, so that's why you sign him.
And I think he's been good within the overall scheme. Like, he's a scheme. You know, you play Madden and it says scheme fit. You know, Ersan Ilyasova would have that purple flag on him if this were like NBA 2K, because it would say scheme fit. He's a scheme
well,
fit.
Well, he was in Milwaukee.
Right? Yeah.
He was in Milwaukee. We saw it. So this game Friday, okay? We just saw this game a few weeks ago. DeAndre Ayton was fantastic. how do you feel about this game? I'm leaning Phoenix. I think just Phoenix is on a nice run right now. You mentioned no Donovan, no Mike Conley. With that backcourt, I just think that's too much.
Phoenix will win by 10. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jazz are competitive through three quarters of the game and then Phoenix just you know, down the stretch. First of all, it's just so hard to beat Phoenix in clutch minutes because of Chris Paul.
Right. And you know the mid-range is going to be there and he's going to hit it.
It's just now insanely difficult to beat Chris Paul in the clutch.
Now, I'd be interested to see if Joe Ingles is guarding Chris Paul down the stretch. Maybe mix it up a little bit. Just try it out at least. See if he can still handle it. They got the Raptors Sunday night. And the Raptors are not pushovers, but they're not really that good. They're dealing with some injury issues. I think the Jazz likely win that game.
Back-to-back, third game in four nights. I wouldn't be shocked if they struggle.
You're gonna give them an L or are you giving them a win?
I don't know if I'm giving them an L, but I think that's a close game.
Okay. Then they got the Spurs. They play the Spurs in a series, so two games in a row. Not a back-to-back. There is a night off in between. Spurs are tough, man, and they're no longer – like, they're in the play-in. But they are jockeying for position to a certain degree. Like, I think that they would like to be the eighth seed because then you only got to win one game and you're in. So it's not going to be a cakewalk. But they're also not as talented as Utah.
Yeah, not as talented. But DeMar DeRozan gets into the mid-range. I'll take the Jazz in both.
Okay, I got the Jazz in game one, and I got the Spurs in game two.
I'll take the Jazz in both. Let's break this tie.
All right. Well, I was going to say this would break the tie. We're actually both.
We're
39 and right 39 or 38 and 20 right now. We both are.
Yeah, we're both 38 and 20. I'm gonna take the Jazz 3 out of 4 this week.
Yeah, and I got them going 2-2. So you know we'll see how that works out. Anyway, that's gonna do it for this week, folks. Look, the Suns Jazz Friday night, biggest game of the year. Tony, you're gonna write on this game, right?
Of course.
Okay, so everybody, make sure you check that out Saturday morning over at The Athletic. Go and check that out because I know it's going to be huge. This game is super important for the playoffs, so definitely check it out. And that's it for this show, folks. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Game Notes Podcast. For Tony Jones, I'm Dave DeFore. Thanks for listening.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.